Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masechet Bechorot of Chaf Aleph Amud Bet at the bottom of the Amud, looking at the end of Mishnah Aleph, which got separated and put here. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Beimah Gasah Sheshafach Charat Dam. If you have a Beimah Gasah, like a cow, that had a clump of blood that came out of it, vaginal canal, Harezu Tikaver. The clump of blood has to be buried. And the animal is now exempt from the Bechorai. In other words, we interpret this as a birth event, of course, gone wrong. Important to keep in mind as we go through the sequence of Mishnayot, because in our first Mishnah, or the first part of our first Mishnah, we had the Machloket, Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva, about determining the status of an animal when we don't know if it's a Bechor, if it has been Mevaker yet. Now we have Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov making a statement. In the next Mishnah, as we will see, we have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel making a statement, and that's going to be analyzed in the next podcast. Now, Tani Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia has the following addition to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's halacha. Einam metama lo b'magav lo b'masa. This dam has no tumah of nevela, of nivata dam, of nivata peima, lo b'magav lo b'masa, not by touching, not by carrying it. And we're going to get back to the issue of tumat masa later on in our discussion. So why bury it? The answer is, we're burying it to let everybody know that this animal had a birth event and is exempt, but this clump of blood has no tumat to it at all. Now, the Meimer de Vlad Malyahu, so that means that it's some sort of a Vlad, which we then exempts the animal from further Bechorot. And again, the question, why is there no tumah? Because we now assume there's some sort of an embryo inside this clump of blood, which is dead, and there should have tumat menevela. Rabbi Yochanan mishum bitul barov naguba. He says, because whatever is in there is batel relative to all the blood and whatever else is coming out that's around it. And that's going to kick us off on the sugya. V'yaz Rabbi Yochanan Tamei. Rabbi Yochanan is being consistent here. De'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, our Tana, v'Rabbi Shimon, Amru Devar Echad. Taking a clip out of Abaye's playbook, he aligns Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Had Amram, that's the one we just said. Rabbi Shimon, Mahi. What's the statement of Rabbi Shimon? None. We have a Mishnah in Ohalot about Tum'at Mate. Hashilya b'bayit, if there is a placenta, a human placenta, in a house, habayit tameh, that's tumat ohel. Lo shashilya vlad, not because that's a vlad, ela she'in shilya below vlad, not because the placenta itself is a vlad, but it's impossible to have a placenta without a vlad. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, says, vlad nimok ad shelo yetze. Before the vlad comes out, it is all disintegrated, as it were, into the placenta. And Rabbi Yochanan interprets, that means he says that the rove of placenta relative to the vlad nullifies it and it's no longer there. Same as Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Okay, now we start a long roundabout way to get back to this. Tanatam. We have a Mishnah. Ein l'nefalim p'tichat hakever ad sheyagil rosh kefika. P'tichat hakever is an inverted euphemism, as it were, for opening up the birth canal when a woman goes into birth, into labor. And Ptichata Kever is when she has Tum'ah, it's going to be a live birth. When it's a Nefa, when it's a miscarriage, that does not have a halacha of Ptichata Kever, and there's no Tum'ah until it actually comes out. But it has to be formed to the point, Ad Shagila Rosh Kefika. It has to have at least a head that's round and big enough as a pika, which is a clump of yarn. We'll talk about what that is right now. My kefika, what is that? So that's the Mishnah says kefika. What does it mean? Amar Ravuna kefika shel tsemer, like a clump of wool. Now Amar Lechia Barav Ravuna. So his younger colleague asks him, Rabbi Paresh, please explain to me shel shti or shel erev. So you have to remember that when you have the thin, stronger wool that goes across the warp, that's the shti, or the thicker stuff that goes across, which is the Erev, they form different size clumps. So which size are you talking about? Amarle said, Tanya, Pikach shel shti, Divar Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer shel Erev. It's a machloket tanaim, how big the head of this thing has to be in order to generate tuma. Is it shel shti, which is smaller, shel Erev, which is bigger? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Mishigirut Fifiot. He has a different shita, which is that it's not tamei until you see tfifiot. My tfifiot, what is that? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rashmo, Mishum, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadok, Kachim, Vashim, Rishalayim. So this goes to ancient explanation. going back to pre-Churban times, kifredash akorat latil b'me'al, like a mule who leans down to urinate, v'nereit pika mitoch pika, and you can see one little fold inside of another fold from where she's urinating. So that's this tfifiyot, so you have to see a more developed head than originally proposed. Okay. Now, Amar Rav Huna, shamati shtei pikot. He said, I've heard two different things about pikot. Achat shel shtei v'achat shel erev. Now he's not attributing to machloket, but rather saying, I've heard two different halachot, one in which we demand pikah shel shtei, one is the thicker pikah shel erev, and the faresh, and I don't know which is which, meaning to apply which one, which shear is applied to which halacha. Kevavdim Rav Yochanan, shalosh pikot shamati. And now we get a report from Eretz Yisrael that there's a third kind of pika, which is a chachal shtei, a chachal erev, a chachal pika gdola shel sakain, a much thicker clump, which is when you're working with rough material to make sack. That's going to be a thicker pika. Vein lefaresh, and Rav Dimi reported that Rabbi Yochanan also could not distinguish, said, one halacha is for some kind of animals and the other kind of animals, and I don't know which is which. Kiata Ravin, but Ravin, who we always have a greater trust in as far as his reports from Eretz Yisrael, came, and he always comes after Rav Dimi, at least the way that's presented in the Gemara. Per Shamish made Rabbi Yochanan, he said Rabbi Yochanan did explain it. Shel Isha Kishel Shti. A human is going to be Kishel Shti. Shel Behema, any animal, it's Kishel Erev, the thicker one. Pikag Dolash Sakain, what's that for? Get it none. Gush Abami Beta Pras. Beta Pras is a field in which somewhere in there somebody was buried and we don't know where. So it's a fake tumat, and it's a safek durabanan. So you have Beta Pras Mieratamim, it comes from Chutzlaritz. Shiuroki Fikag Dolash Sakain. So if you have a clump of dirt, if it's that big, then it's already got some tumat. Shukechotem amartzufin. If you don't know what pikag dolash sakain is, they also tell you it's like the seal of martzufin, which is on certain kinds of barrels, where they have a seal on them. This megufat chavit, the seal of the barrel that is, these sort of barrels that they make typically in Beit Lechem, Shulachmit, so it's the top, the little round top that they have on top of these barrels. I'm sure some of your Gemara, you have pictures of these, or drawings of what these look like. Okay, so he settles with these three different shiurim are. Okay. Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Halokach Tzir Me'am Haaretz. Now we seem to be going further afield. If you buy fish oil, this is fish juice, really, from an Am Haaretz. And Am Haaretz is not careful about Tuma, but fish juice itself is not Mekabel Tuma. So Meshikom Amayim, you have it in the Kli, you put the whole Kli in water, and Tahor, in the Mikveh, it's Tahor. Mimanav Shach, why is it Tahor? Because Imaya Rumaninu, if a majority of what's in there is water, came into Luhashaka Tahor. You are Matahir the water by putting the Kli in Mikveh, and then all the water connects. Hashakat. Now, Tari Lahuvi, Ruba Tzir Ninu, if a majority of what's in this pot is the Tzir, Tzir Lo Ba Mekub Kabbalatumahu, it's not Mekabbalatuma. So now, Ma'ika, so why are you concerned? Why might you be concerned? Shunhanach Miyuta Demaya, because of the small amount of water that's in the Tzir, that's a minority. Now, what's the problem? There's no problem, because Hanach Batlulu Baruba, because that small amount of Tzir is Batel Barov relative to the Tzir itself. And it's gone. Now, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Lo Shanu Elo Litvo Ben Pito. This heter to take it from the Amaretz is only to use this oil to dip your bread in it. Avalik Derabat, put it into a pot and cook it up. Lo, why not? Matzaminet Minomi Neor. Here's what happens. The Tzir, which is okay, has a little bit of water in it. We know it has some water in it. And that little bit of water, we say, has been nullified relative to the majority of Tzir. Rabbi Yirmiyah makes the following claim. That little bit of water is not gone. It's just sort of in suspension. And then once you pour it into a pot and it finds more water that's tahor, it wakes up the water that's in there. It all connects. And now it's Mekabel Tuma again. Yatu Rav Dimi Kamal Hashmatas. Rav Dimi came from Tveria with this reporter of Rabbi Yirmiyah, came to Pumbatita and reported it to Abaye. Amale Abaye. Abaye says, Chituma Shabbat Lachazov Neora, since when is Tuma that's been nullified able to be restirred and awake? So Amar Le, Rav Dimi said, Vav Lo Tispra, you don't think so? But not. We have a Mishnah in Trumot, Sa'at Trumat Tmeah, Shenafla Lameah Chulin Tohorin. So you have one Se'ah worth of Trumah, and it's Tameh. And it falls into 100 of the same sort of thing, apples or grapes or whatever it is, that are Chulin, that are Tahor. You pull one out. What do we normally do when one part truma falls into 100 parts chulin? You pull any one part out, it goes to the kohen, and the rest is chulin. That's called dimua, or bitul b'meya. You take one out, but you have to let that one sit. Shani omer, he say ashenafly, he say ashalta. The same one that fell in is the one that you pulled out. That's what we're going to assign in our theoretical reality here. And therefore, it has to sit and rot because you can't eat it. Chacham say, no, you pull it out, and what you do is you eat it as, let's say, crumbs, or klayot, you toast it, or telosh me perot, or you take this grain and you knead it in with me perot, so there's no tuma possible. Me perot are not makabel tuma. Otit are not machshir. Otit chalek lisot, or divide it up into little pieces so that every, bit goes into a different dough. Vajalei makom achad kabetza, so there's less than a kabetza anywhere. There's no kabbalat tuma. And that's how you solve using this truma. Vitani Allah, and about that we learned, otan chulin l'rabbi Eliezer matialan. Kurab Eliezer, what do you do with the other 100? And he says, Yachluna kudino klayot elushabe perot of tchalik lisot, machalik kebetzav makom achad. He has the same solution that Chacham had for the one for the other 100. V'amar Ula, and Ula explains, Matam, what's the reason Rabbi Eliezer would say you have to treat all 100 like that? Gzera shemi avi kav chulin tmeim makom acher, because you might bring another kav, which is a smaller amount of chulin, that are tamei from some other place, v'kav v'odmi min zeh, and you've got this chulin stuff, and you got kav plus, sarev talina beruba, and you think you're going to be mevata whatever might be in there that's tamei, berov, that's chulin, that's truma berov, v'kev and de'ika hai mashu, you've got this little mashu, matzah minamino v'neor. The little mashu that's extra of the original piece that you put in may indeed be from the original piece, and it will then wake up the small amount of chulin you throw in, that's tameh, the stuff that you throw in will wake up this mashu, and the tumah will come regenerated. So if Dimi says to Abaye, you see that we have a concern for regenerating tumah that's been nullified berov. So Abaye says, in tumah, or erat tumah, Abaye says, fine, I'll grant you that tumah can reawaken more tumah, it can find other tumah. Tara or erat tumah, but here you're talking about regular water waking up the water that's inside the tzir and waking it up. That you can't do. Tahara's not going to wake up Tuma. So Eitave. So Rav Dimi has a challenge. Efer kasher, shintareba efer mikle. You have proper efer of the paraduma. And that's matame, by the way, if you touch it. And it gets mixed up with regular ash. Hochinacha rov latame. So you say that if the rove is efer of the para, this whole thing is matame. Viruba efer mikle, but if the majority is regular ash, lo matame. Sa matame. Viamar Tuma kamandi ite dame. If you think the Tuma is still there. This is Abaye's response to Rav Dimi. If you think that a tuma is still considered there, nehid b'maga lo matame, you're right, it shouldn't be matame b'maga, but matame b'masa, because remember, efer para is matame b'maga o b'masa, if you touch it, or if you carry it. So if you touch it, I understand you're touching something that's rove regular ash, but when you pick it up, you've got still efer para in what you're carrying. You should be tameh. So according to you, Rav Dimi, you should have tumat masa, but it seemed to say that there's no tumat at all. So I eat marlam, Rav Yosef Chanina, tahor min the tameh b'magav matam masa. He says, yeah, indeed, Rav Yosef Chanina, back in Eretz Yisrael, said that exact halacha, that there is tumat masa. Because what we're saying is that the little bit that's been nullified is not gone. It just doesn't have the power to be matameh in its surroundings, but it's still there, and therefore tumat masa still exists. So let's see more about this. From Rav Chista, nevela b'teil b'shchuto. We had this back in Chulin. If you have a shchuta and a vela get mixed up together, so the nevela is brought up to the shchuta. Why? If shal nevela shteis a shchuta, a nevela could never be a shchuta. If shal nevela shteis a shchuta. So now nehid b'magalom atami. Again, you have a nevela and a shchuta together, and the majority of it is shchuta. So it's batel. But remember, nevela is matami b'magav masa, and Rav Chista says there's no tuma here. So again, the same point is evidently, that when you have tuma that's been batel berov, it's dead in the water. It doesn't have any more power. Neither magalom atam atam masa should have tumat masa. So Amarlei, Avdimi said, Atun kidi Rav Chista matninula. You learned that statement about nevela batel b'shchuta as a comment attributed to Rav Chista. Anam Rav Chia matninula. We have it as a statement from Eretz Yisrael from Rav Chia. Rav Chia nevela b'shchuta batelot zo bazo. They each are mevatel within each other. We don't favor one over the other, whichever is the rove. And commenting on that, we said, I'm Rav Yosef Chanina, Tohomi Latam Magav, Matam Masa. Indeed, there's Tumat Masa. So I stick with my point that when Tuma is Batal Barov, it still exists and has Tumat Masa because you're still carrying it. It doesn't have Tuma Maga because the piece that you're touching is defined by the Rov. Alright, Vahadit Nan, and now we bring it all the way home. Rav Ozman Yaakov Merva, Himaga Sa Shafa, Chararat Tam, Ar Mishnah, Rezutuk of Evan Ifner, Binam Chorat. Matani Rabbi Chiyah, and the same Rabbi Chiyah said, Eina Matan Olav Maga V'lobu Masa. Which means that, and when, remember Rabbi Yochanan said that the reason that in our case there's no Tumah is because it's Batil Barov of the Dam. And now Rabbi Chiyah himself said there is no Tumat Masa either. Amay Nehid, Maga Matame, Tam Masa, it should have Tumat Masa. So Ishtik, Rav Dimi had no answer for this. Now we comment, Dilma Shani Acha Dahavil Tumat Srucha. Well, why didn't Rav Dimi just answer? This is Tumas Srucha. This is Nevela, which is disgusting and gross, and therefore it's not because of the robe, but simply it's not Metame because it doesn't have a din of Tuma, as you see from the Pasuk on the page, and we'll see now in the dispute between Barpad and Rav Yochanan. Ha Nechel Barpad Damar Tuma Chamura Ad Lager, Tuma Chamura, which is Nevela, is only Metame as long as it's fit for a human to eat it, a ger. But Tumakala ala kelev. Tumakala is still metame until the point that even a dog won't eat it. Like ochlin shouldn't mo. Halochazi leger. So there, halochazi leger. So in our case, this embryo thing, nobody's going to eat it. Therefore, it's not metame. So we have a whole different reason. Not because of rove, but just it's not fit. El Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan himself, who said rove to Amar, achazub achazub ala kelev. Famously, Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with the Rapat and said that even Nevela is considered a nevela until it can't be eaten by a dog, and this can be eaten by a dog, achazil kelev. So therefore, it should have tumat masa. So kasha, there's a real challenge to Rav Dimi. Now, gufa, let's take a look at that machloket. Barpada mar tumachamura adlegev, tumakala adlekelev, reyuchanam adachzu achazu adlekelev. My town of Barpada, where does Barpada get his halacha from? Tichtiv lo tochlu chol nevela lager shabisharecha. We're playing a fancy parsing here. or creative parsing. You may not eat a nevela, rather give it to the ger. But the way he reads it is, you may not eat a nevela la ger, meaning, haruya la ger, kriya nevela. A nevela is only something that is fit for a ger toshav to eat, for someone to eat. Shenuya la ger, if it's dead and disgusting, and maggots, or whatever it is, then, or in this case, it's an embryo filled with blood around it. And a kriya nevela, it's not called a nevela at all. Ve'idach, what does Rabbi Yochanan answer? Lemute echad esricha mikara. I said, what the Pasuk is doing, I agree with your creative parsing. But I think it's only there to tell you that if from the get-go it was not fit for anybody to eat, then a human to eat, then it's not an nevela. But if it was originally fit, the tumah doesn't disappear when it gets bad. V'idach, what does Rabbi Parpada answer? I don't need a Pasuk to tell me that if it was never good, it's not an nevela. Afra ba'amu, it's like a piece of dirt. Therefore, the Pasuk must be there saying if it went bad. Now, let's test that against our Mishnah. Tan Rav Elizmi Yaakov Merei Magash Shavachar Adam Reis to Gaver Nefem Nem Chorav Tan Rav Chiyan Matam Lo Mag Vlo Masa Vyam Rav Yochum Shum Bitul Barov Naguba. So that's the compilation of Memrot that we had at the beginning of our Sugya. My Yirim Shum Bitul Barov. And now the question is, why do we need Bitul Barov? Typically, Lo Itchazi Klal. Why don't we just say, nobody's going to eat this, and therefore it's not an Avela. That's why it, which is sort of what we're asking earlier. So the answer is, the fact that it was fit when it was inside the mother. And, because if you killed the mother and this was in it, that could be eaten. Okay. Tanaratam, we have a Mishnah in, I think it's Machshir, Malozavan Yaakov Merit, Tzir Tahor Shnafal Tochom Maim Kolshu. If you have Tzir, this fish oil, and it's Tahor, and any water fell in it, Tameh. Why is it Tameh? You bought it from an Aharetz, that's the case. And of course, the concern is that the waters that he has were not careful, and therefore it sounds like this little bit of water that you put in woke up the other water that's there. So that proves to you that Amei Haaretz are suspected of putting 50% water in their tzir. So it's a commerce issue. Why do I have to get that far? Even if it's less than 50%, and this mashu gets it to 50%. Upalga lo batel. And once you have 50%, it's not batel. So that's why do you say that they are nechshad to put 50% water in their tzir? Maybe they put 45%. And the little bit you added in brought it to 50. So the emad mechza. So you're right. Possibly it means, Rav Nachman meant, that they will put up until a little less than half. Ibaitema, the other possibility is it really does have to be more than half, because Ibaitema, Tumat Ama Aretz Durabanan, this whole Tumat of Ama Aretz is Achshash Durabanan, that they're not careful. And Tumat Mashkin is Durabanan. All of Tumat Mashkin is Durabanan. The famous Gzerot that we find in Masachet Shabbat in the middle of the first parak, but the Gzerot of Mashkin as always being a Tchila is the Rabbanan. So Baruba, Gaz Rabbanan, Pago, the Gaz Rabbanan. Maybe the Rabbanan only made the Gzerot when the majority of it is Mashkin or Tmeim and not 50%. And that's why Rav Nachman said, you see that they put 50% in and this Mashu takes it over the 50% point. Okay, we'll pick it up in the next podcast at the Mishnah Bet coming up with Rav Shimon Gamliel. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.